Thank you to everyone who's here today, both online and in person. I want you to know that I don't take lightly the great privilege that Pastor Mark and Pastor Michael, Pastor Carmichael, Pastor Dom, and Pastor Kevin extend when they allow me to share my heart with you. So I'm very thankful. And as Pastor Mark prayed this morning, my heart is that you would hear what God would have you hear today. So we've been doing this incredible study to kick off the year called Positioned in Christ, because that is foundational to who we are. And today I want to talk to you about being positioned for purpose. You know, you may sit there, and especially if you're younger, and even when you're older, do I have a purpose in life? Why am I here? That's one of the great cries of the human heart. Well, I want to assure you this morning that we have been and always have been created for purpose. Before the foundation of the world, God knew why he was creating us and what he was creating us for. Genesis 1, 26 to 28 tells us, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Our purpose has always been to be the living examples of God's image and to administrate his dominion, his way of doing things here on earth. But as we know, Adam and Eve sinned, and the image in mankind died. But God's purpose hadn't changed. Centuries passed, kingdoms rose, kingdoms fell, the flood, we read Exodus, you can read all about it here in the Bible what happened. But God's purpose remained the same. And if you read your Bible, you can see him working behind the scenes, because you see, he never stops working. He's committed to accomplishing what he says. He will always do what he says. And how do we know this? Well, Numbers 23:19 tells us, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Has he not said, and will he not do? Or has he not spoken, and will he not make it good?" And so by the time of the Roman Empire, unfortunately, you know, the image of God had been dead in man for so long that you couldn't see it anywhere. Religion tried to show us the image of God, but, you know, while the world perverts it one way, religion just perverts it another way. And we know that religion brings death, so you couldn't see what God looked like anywhere. Mankind had become saturated in the stench of self. Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-pity, self-justification, self-righteousness, just to name a few. And a life that was designed to be all about God had become all about me. But remember, God hadn't changed his mind. John 3:16 to 17 tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. God himself came to earth to show us what we were originally created to look like. Read the Gospels. Jesus is the perfect representation of God. But Jesus didn't come just to show us what we were supposed to look like. He actually came to make a way for it to be possible once again. You see, by his crucifixion, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he took all the blame and punishment for the sin of the world, thereby making a way for us to be restored into unbroken fellowship with God our Father once again, thereby to, again, have the image of God. And then, this is amazing, and as Christians, we have to get this, because this, if we don't understand this, we can't live the life God's given us. We will miss the purpose. We'll miss our position. In redemption, this is going to sound too good to be true, but it's a fact, not because I'm saying it. Read the Bible. God said it. Jesus did it. In redemption, he transferred to us his nature, his anointing, his power, his name, his righteousness, his authority. And then Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and God entrusts us to be his hands, his feet to our hurting world, to show them what he looks like, and to extend his dominion over this earth once again. It's how we live our lives actually lets people know that the kingdom of God has come. Colossians 1:27 tells us that there's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So how are we stewarding that? So Pastor Mark said, you know, the word he's hoping is going to challenge us today. I was so glad he said that, because I think we're going to be challenged. God's going to call us to maturity. He's calling us higher. So if you could turn to Colossians 3, please, because Colossians 3 is only one of the many ways in the Bible, one of the many places we can see how, that practically show us how do we live our position and our purpose out in everyday life, because the gospel is for everyday life. And before I start, I just wanted to let you know, how do you read the Bible? The Bible is an incredible book. It's the only book that is actually has words that are alive. They're living and active. It says they're sharper than a two-edged sword, because the word of God transforms us. Jesus didn't come that we would have an external resurrection. He came that we would have an internal transformation. You see, he doesn't want to do something to us. He wants to live his life through us. All right? So to do that, we need to know his word. So when I read the word, I don't just read it and then I tick off on my Bible reading plan. Yep, read the word today. Okay, off I go. No, sit down. Holy Spirit, the teacher, is in us. Yeah. Say, okay, Holy Spirit, show me, teach me. What do you want me to learn today as I read the word? So I pick up Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So I say, Holy Spirit, what things are above where Christ is seated? And then I get a thought. God. And you see, that's what happens. When you're asking God to speak to you, you believe he speaks to you. And when he talks to you, it's a thought in your mind that's related to what you're talking about. So he says to me, God. And so I say, okay, well, what's God? And Holy Spirit says, love. And I go, okay. Now, some of you may say, yeah, love. But you see the thread Pastor Michael spoke about. But I didn't grow up in a loving home, and no one's really ever loved me, so I don't really know what love looks like. How can I set my mind on that? Well, God gave you the answer. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. What does love look like? Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not angry. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrong. It is always perseveres, trust, hopes. You want to know what love looks like? Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and begin to memorize it and realize that's what you should be setting your mind on, the things that are patient, kind, loving, rejoicing in the truth. And then I think, well, what else is above? Well, the kingdom of God is above. And what does the kingdom of God look like? Well, Romans 14:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to ask you, it's kind of a barometer, how is the kingdom of God in your life right now? Are you experiencing righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? And if you're not, I just want to suggest to you, maybe you're not setting your mind on things above where Christ is, but you're actually setting your mind on things of the earth. And if we fill our thought processes with earthly things, we will never have righteousness, peace, and joy. So set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And then it tells us, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Romans 6:4-6 says, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Isn't that amazing? You have died. That old nature is dead. It's not yours anymore. You have been raised in the image of God. You are no longer a slave to sin. You have become captivated and are a slave to righteousness. And so therefore, Colossians 5 tells us, therefore, because I've been raised with Christ, I know my position. I have set my mind on things above. This is what I do. I put to death my members which are on the earth. Isn't it interesting the wording he uses? He doesn't say negotiate with. He doesn't say justify, compromise. No, he says put to death. Those things were put to death. They should not be there anymore. They are dead. And what are those things? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Isn't it great to know? We once walked there, but we don't walk there anymore. We have been born again. We are a new creation. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are you in Christ? If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. You see what happened? We have to understand that, yes, Adam and Eve sinned, and so anyone who was born after that point was born into sin, was born into this world, and born into this world's image. And as we were raised up, the world told you what to think, what to look like. This is who you are. But then Christ came, and he made a way for us to be born again in him. So when we receive him, God takes us from the kingdom of darkness, and he moves us into the kingdom of the love of his Son, into the kingdom of light. That's not who we are. We are now born again through the shed blood of Jesus into our restored image in God. So we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All right, so we are new. Those things are not part of us anymore. But do we believe it? Don't try harder, please. Don't say, okay, I'm going to no to this. How about we just say yes to Jesus? That we don't try not to sin. How about we just study his word, get to know him, and embrace his truth, and believe what he says? Because isn't that what we're called? We're called believers. We're not called try-harders. We're believers. Let's believe him. Let's live the way he says we can live. But now, verse 8, you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now you yourselves, what's he telling us? My faith journey, my relationship with Jesus does not depend on Pastor Mark. It's my responsibility. Not my husband's, not my parents, not my best friends. It's mine. Can we agree this morning that we're going to take responsibility for our life in Christ? That we're going to be the ones who decide to believe in him, that we're going to be the ones who choose to study his word, that we will accept responsibility for our faith walk. And when we do that, he tells us we're to put off. Again, I don't pray, ask somebody to come and pray for me not to do this anymore. It's not what the Bible tells us to do. Though prayer is good, please don't hear. You don't want prayer. But that's not what the Bible tells me to do. He doesn't say, go call five people and have them lay hands on you. He says, you yourself put off these. What does put off look like? I put off. So what am I doing here? Look at that. I put off. Now, can you see it on me? No. Look, how about this side? No. This side? No, you don't see it because I've put it off. It's not there anymore. That's the good news of the gospel. And what am I putting off? I'm putting off anger. I just want to say something about anger. Just on an aside note. Anger is often a mask emotion. You see, emotions are a result of chemicals released in our bodies. And the chemicals released for anger and fear are very similar. So if you're using anger, it's usually because you're afraid. So can you please get along with Jesus and say, Jesus, what am I angry about and what am I afraid of? And can you, if you're using anger, usually it's to manipulate and control people because you're afraid and you're trying to contain something. Can you get alone with Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm afraid of something here, so I need you to come in and I need you to fill it with your love, because we know that the only thing that casts out fear is perfect love, and that's Jesus. And fortunately, he lives in us. So go to Jesus, deal with these issues. If you have, you know, things in your life that you're struggling with, go to Jesus and say, would you come in and love me in this place? So I've put off these things because that's not who I am anymore. And then I have put on the new man. Oh, but what happens? So I just wanted to demonstrate this. What happens? So yeah, I've put off lying. I don't lie anymore. Maybe I was raised in a home where it was not safe to tell the truth. Or maybe that's a reaction I have. Someone asks me something and I don't tell the truth. But now I've put it off. So someone asks me something and my first, because remember, I've been trained in the old way, but I am new, I kind of feel like maybe I'm going to lie. And what it is you see, the devil comes and he goes, wait a second, you dropped this. Don't you want to put it on? Look at it. Isn't this yours? And you look at it. And if you don't know that you are a new creation and you've put it off and it's not yours anymore, that it's dead, the old is gone, you're going to go, oh, you know, that kind of looks familiar. And it was actually really comfortable. And the devil's like, come on, why don't you put that on again? You know, it does feel good, right? No, you go, no, get behind me, Satan. I'm not putting on those stinking grave clothes anymore. I've been clothed with a robe of righteousness, and nothing's going to change that. I'm going to wear what Christ designed for me, and that's who I am, and that's what I'll do. Now, I hate to pick this up again, but therefore, as the elect of God, again, here's a therefore. I know who I am. I know my position. I know my purpose. And I know that I am the elect of God. I am holy and beloved. Do we believe that? Do you know that God looked down through history and said, I want you? That's what elect means. It means you've been chosen. Yeah, I know we're a mess. Still, he chose us. He says, I want you. Do you know how much he wants you? If you're not sure, look at the cross. That's how much he wants you. That's the cost of choosing you to him. And he said, you are worth it. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're holy? I can stand here today before you and say I'm holy. Not because of me, but because of Jesus and what he's done. He said, Holy Spirit lives in me. Do you think holy and unholy can occupy the same place? No, Holy Spirit, his first name is holy. I'm holy, not because of me, but because of him and who lives in me. So I know that I am holy. It's not being bragging or arrogant, because it's humbling to imagine and to understand that the God of the universe has chosen to dwell in me, this imperfect vessel. And that I'm beloved. Do you know how loved you are? Because if you do, this is what you can do. Now let's imagine this is the robe of righteousness. I put on, and what do I put on? Because I know I'm the elect of God, I'm chosen, I'm holy, I'm beloved. What do I put on? I put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. I put it on. I put on Christ. And when I put something on, look at that. From any angle, you get to see it. And that's what it should be. From any angle, you see loving kindness. And do you know who else puts loving kindness and mercy on us? Go to Psalm 103. It says that he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. So you see, that's when we look like him. You see, our image matches the image of our Father. And if we can just settle once and for all, too, this whole issue about forgiveness. If you're still struggling about forgiveness and you think it's an option, the Bible tells you very clearly right now in Colossians, Paul's telling us, so you must also do. Forgiveness is not an option, not because it's fair, but because it's what God knows, how we're designed. And he knows if we live in unforgiveness, it will not be good for us. If you're struggling to forgive, can you please contact somebody? Let them know. And this is a case where you help them, ask them to help you pray through it so that you can choose to forgive and forgive. Verse 14 to 16, but above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. There's Pastor Michael's word. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. When you get up this morning, if you don't know what to wear, put on love. In other words, just put on Christ. If you put on Christ, you're going to be okay. And as you're going about your day and you're thinking, oh, gee, I don't know what I should do today, can you be thankful? Be thankful. Say, God, thank you that I got to get up today. Thank you that I get to have another day to live for you, to show people who you're like. Because unless we do, they can go to eternal separation without God. This is not it's not a game we're playing. It's not just a benefit God's given us. Eternity is resting on how we steward what God has given us. And verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Does the word of God, let it dwell in you richly. Are you hiding the word of God in your heart so you won't sin against him? Are you reading it? Are you treasuring it? Take it up. Open it up every day. Spend time in it. Let it dwell in you richly. And then when you worship, when we worship as we were doing this morning, let it be with grace in our hearts. Do you realize that grace is the empowering presence of God? So when we worship, let the empowering presence of God be in our worship. That's why we worship. God seeks those who worship in spirit and truth. Do you know that Christianity is the only religion where the object of worship lives inside the worshipers? Let God's empowering presence be the passion behind your worship. And finally, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In everything we say and do, Jesus wants to sign off. He wants to put his initials next to it. Yeah, that's mine. Yeah, that's me. So when you're going to speak, before you say something, just take a moment and think, would Jesus sign off on this? When I do something, just take a moment, would Jesus initial this? And if he wouldn't, can you please not say or do it? It's a choice. Put it off. And how do we do this? Again, the same way we were saved, by grace through faith, not self-effort. But we do it, because you know why? Luke 6:40, Jesus told us, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. We're being fully trained. Embrace it. I don't do all this so that God will love me more, approve of me. We have that already. So please don't think, okay, if I do this, I'm going to be more special to God. No, you are special. You're as special as you're going to get. You're as approved as you're going to get. You don't have to do anything. But you want to mature so that he can live his life through you, so that the lost can be saved. And I'm going to challenge you. If we call ourselves Christians, yet have no desire to live a life of love or to walk in obedience to his commands, we may want to ask ourselves if, in fact, we know Jesus. Not have I said a prayer, but do I know him? Do I know him? Because to know him is to love him, and to love him is to serve him. And may I further suggest that maybe obedience only feels hard if we still believe we can run our lives better than Jesus. We may want to do a beliefs check after hearing what we hear today. Because I know right now I can hear the thoughts clicking away going, yeah, but you don't know what my parents were like. Yeah, but you don't know what my uncle did to me when I was 3. Yeah, but you don't know the boss I have to deal with. Yeah, but you don't know my kids are going, what they're doing. Yeah, but. We all have yeah, buts. We all have yeah, buts. But again, how does that change who Jesus said you are? I thought we said Jesus was Lord. So doesn't he get to determine? Not other experiences, other people? And even more challenging, how does that change who Jesus says those people are? He died for them. He says he loves them. You see, if they knew who they were, they would not behave that way. That's the truth. They wouldn't treat you the way they're treating you. But we say we know who we are. So that's, we don't have to behave that way. And I'm not trying to diminish the fact of what you're living through right now or in the past, or to say the pain wasn't real. But we have to understand that Jesus calls us higher. He doesn't say we're to embrace the facts of our life. He says we're to embrace the truth. We're to embrace him because, you see, it's truth that sets us free. It's knowing truth, knowing him. It's not knowing the facts. So you have a choice. Am I going to hang on to my facts? Or am I going to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, what is your truth? And I'm going to choose to walk there. I'm going to choose to fix my eyes there. I'm going to choose to line my thought life up there because you died so that I could be free. And don't tell me you can't. Because 1 John 4:17 tells us that as he is, so are we in this world. Remember? God of all creation, if you're a Christian, if you're a Jesus follower, God of all creation lives inside you. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The same God who wrote in Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for me, lives, not as an idea, a concept, but as a reality inside of us. So let's just be honest. Don't say I can't. Just say I don't want to. I choose not to. Because we want to be honest. If you're not honest, if you're not aware of how you're thinking and behaving, you can't change. God can't work with you. But let's just be honest. Say, God, I don't want to. I still want to be angry about that. I still want them to pay for that. I want mercy, but I want justice for them. Mercy for me, justice for them. And but then don't condemn yourself, because the Bible also tells us there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Just acknowledge, because, you know, God won't be angry if you choose not to. He won't be disappointed in you. He won't turn away from you. No, he loves you. He wants to bless you. So he'll just continue to walk with you and let you do what you're doing. But in goodness, circumstances will arise, and you'll get another chance. And he'll say, you still want to do it your way, until you get to a place where you say, actually, you know what, God? I've done it my way, and it is not working. And he says, would you like me to step in, and we'll do it together my way? And then you can say yes. And if you've forgotten your position or your purpose, if you've forgotten your position, please, go back to Pastor Mark's first two sermons. Pull them up, listen to them again. Write down the scriptures, study them out, memorize them, meditate on them, make them your internal reality. Know your position. Don't beat yourself up over it. If you aren't living your purpose, don't beat yourself up over it. Instead, ask Jesus to forgive you. And then this is key. Do we understand this is key when we ask Jesus to forgive us? Receive his forgiveness. He says that he's faithful and just, and he forgives us our sins if we confess them. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's gone then. Receive his forgiveness. And then take up your position and live for him. You know, God has promised that he will finish the good work that he has begun in us. Be encouraged. Read Colossians 3. Let him disciple you. Let the word become flesh inside you. Say it out loud. I am patient. I am kind. I do not boast. I'm not envious. I'm not proud. I don't get easily angered. I don't dishonor others. And you may say, yeah, but that's not actually what I'm like right now. No, no, no. It doesn't matter. Say it over and over and over until your thoughts line up with what God says. And then your behavior slips into line with that. Because, you know, it is hard and it takes time to think a new thought. But put in the effort. Think what God says. Get to know his word. Declare it out loud over yourself, who you really are. The world has said it to you. It's screamed it to you in many different ways. Tune that out. It's time to listen to what God has said. Now, if you don't have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, you can't do that. But the good news is that today can be the day you choose to receive him. If you're online today watching and you don't know Jesus and you realize, oh my goodness, I've been living life by myself, I don't want to do that anymore, then can I ask you to do three things? Can you accept responsibility for your life and the choices you have made? I want you to tell Jesus that you have chosen to live life your way for yourself But now you understand that you were never created to live that way. Tell him that you're sorry for doing so. Ask him to forgive you, and then receive his forgiveness. And then tell Jesus that you believe he is Lord, that he is the Son of God who lived, died, and rose again. And then receive Jesus' free gift of salvation, his substitutionary death and resurrection on your behalf. Now believe in what he has done. You have just been born again. The old has gone, the new has come. Now ask him to fill you with the gift of Holy Spirit, because you're not designed to live alone. He's going to come and live in you, and you're going to do life together. And choose to submit to his leadership of your life from this moment forward. Tell him that to the best of your ability and with Holy Spirit's help, you have stopped living for you and are now living for him. Tell Jesus that you believe him and take him at his word, that you give him your life and that you love him and trust him to do what's best. Then take your position in Christ and live out his purpose for you, to accurately reveal who Jesus is and to let him live his life through you. Can I ask the musicians to come up, please? If you have done that, have just given your life to Christ, can I please ask you to go online, go to our website, and let us know. Very importantly, on our website, we have all sorts of free resources for you. There's Next Steps as New Believers, there's Bible reading plans, there's free ebooks that will really benefit you as you begin this journey. And also, we'd like to give you a Bible, we'd like to partner with you and help you as you begin to be discipled in the life Christ has died to give you. I've asked the musicians to come up, if we can stand again. I've asked the musicians to come up because as they were worshiping this morning in practice, they played a song, and I just felt the Lord say, now that you've heard what the Word of God has said to you, because the Word of God, he promises it won't go out and return without accomplishing his purposes. So it's doing something in your heart right now if you let it. And I believe that this song, would you let it, sing it now from what your understanding is, because maybe you didn't understand some of the things before, but now you know. The old has gone, the new has come. Jesus' word is true. You are his child. Would you sing from that place? And let's close this part of our service with worship once again.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come to the altar. Bow down.